Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 79. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadaika Padena Saparti Varbhakas Sastau Tarangushta Rupi Ditamehi Nanama Tatradam Ibhenda Dishtata Sariva Sarye Taratap Pade Pade. As Dhruva Maharaj, the king's son, kept himself standing on one leg, the pressure of his big toe pushed down half the earth, just as an elephant being carried on a boat rocks the boat left and right with okay, just one second, just setting myself up for the class here. Okay, purport. The most significant expression in this verse is Parthivarbhaka, the son of the king. When Dhruva Maharaj was at home, although he was a king's son, he was prevented from getting on the lap of his father. When he became advanced in self-realization and devotional service, by the pressure of his toe, he would push down the whole earth. That is the difference between ordinary consciousness and Krishna consciousness. In ordinary consciousness, a king's son may be refused something even by his father. When the same person becomes fully Krishna conscious within his heart, he can push down the earth under the pressure of his toe. One cannot argue, how is it that Dhruva Maharaj, who was prevented from getting up on the lap of his father, could press down the whole earth? This argument is not very much appreciated by the learned. In his example of Nagna Matrika Nyaya, logic. By this logic, one would think that because his mother in her childhood was naked, she should remain naked even when she is grown up. The stepmother of Dhruva Maharaj may have been thinking in a similar way. Since she had refused to allow him to get up on the lap of his father, how could Dhruva perform such a wonderful activity as pressing down the whole earth? She must have been very surprised when she learned that Dhruva Maharaj, by concentrating constantly on the Supreme Personality of God within his heart, and press down the entire earth like an elephant who presses down the boat on which it is loaded. Om Vijnana Timurandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Taksu and Mulutamyena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam yena bhutale sayam rupa kadamayam dadati sapadantikam vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayebhucha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Greetings from New Jersey. I'm visiting my mother for a day. Bless her soul, 96 years old. And just an interesting realization about getting here. Yesterday, just by circumstance, I took the bus. And it's only 2.5 miles. The bus is 2.5 miles from her house. And there is my phone is so old that it doesn't have the software for Uber. So I couldn't do that. And there is no taxis that go that short distance. So I walked, and it was very pleasant. The heat doesn't bother me because I grew up in India. It doesn't bother me at all. And it was pleasant. It's just the realization I got is that there's so much relief in simplicity, and this is the way people used to live. They used to walk places. And it's what, it's a 15-minute walk. And, it's just the simplicity is just very, very liberating. And, as Borijan used to say, if you look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, people used to walk even when they went on pilgrimage. They didn't get in a car and wait in an airport and go through the security and get off and the anxiety of waiting for your luggage or getting off. They used to walk. And the process of walking is just so healthy. And what happens is, and it's in a higher mode, and what happens when you go to a place of pilgrimage today, you go so fast that your body arrives 2 weeks before your mind, where previously your mind used to arrive 2 weeks before your body. Of course, that's an extreme way, but I guess the sense is there that happiness is contentment. And contentment means enough. What you have is enough. And we increase the threat. We increase the requirements for us to have enough, and therefore make our happiness more tenuous and dependent. And, when I was teaching the Upadeshamrita, and the principle was Atyahara, one of the things, Atyahara Pyasasya Jalpa Niyamigraha Janasangas, that one of the things that is against an impediment to bhakti is Atyahara. Greed, too much, beyond your needs. People have different needs. I discussed that many, many times, but when you go beyond your needs increase. And therefore, your contentment doesn't increase. I met someone in the city yesterday with Ruti. And it's this one lady that's been somehow I know in a very periphery way in Krishna consciousness, never really became regular in anything, but maybe. And, discussing how, her salary is four times as much and her credit card bills are just the same. So anyway, that principle, enough. And anyway, it was just, I just enjoyed, I guess I just enjoyed the walk. And especially after the walk, how you feel when you arrive in a place, you know, with that exercise. Now, we're in a story with someone who, it was not enough. He wasn't satisfied with his situation. Of course, we do have legitimate needs. We have to balance it out. And sometimes you really feel we require something and we should try for it, you know, and also at the same time try for that principle of being satisfied. Just thinking that once you increase the samskaras, the impressions, the desires, it increases the anxiety. But anyway, Dhruva, it was there within him. That's where he was at, and he wanted something, and he worshipped God, and he became very, very powerful. Of course, when he got what he wanted by that worship of God, he became so purified in the process that his faith had changed from material to spiritual, because he realized there's so much more happiness in the spiritual. And I'm meditating on myself how much we get entangled in the world when we're not fully surrendered to God's will, not happy. The trick is to be happy with God's will. Have faith in God's will. And beyond that, how much we become entangled in the world. And therefore, God has made this arrangement of old age, and age-appropriate activities, where the body is a symbol that this faith, this material faith, it will not work. Because it's antithetical to the self, which is temporary. And as long as you invest your happiness in the temporary, you're going to be doomed. And therefore, we read in the first canto, Mahārāja-yudhiṣṭhira, the kshatriyas out, when they saw these symptoms of old age, they really made a concerted effort, the destiny, I always say, is the language of God, and God is speaking very loudly. This is not you. It's changing. Nasate, vidyate, bhavo, nabhavo, vidyate, sata. That which is changing is not real. That which is changing is not real. This is changing. It's not you. The real is the eternal. And that's what you have to identify with to be happy and peaceful. Otherwise, you suffer the fear of non-existence and the experience of non-existence. And one who has attachments, that is the most frightening thing in the world. So this shift, you know, has to go on. That's the Vanashram system. That's Vanaprastha and Sannyas. The shift, some degree, has to go on. And the society needs the example of people who are happy that way. And this is the tragedy, to certain extent, of the sannyas guru ashram. Sannyas becomes a guru ashram. And, you know, by the nature of that service of preaching Krishna consciousness, by the nature of that service, it doesn't always set the example of simplicity and the happiness in simplicity, an example that's required to inspire the society to move in that direction. I know in Vrindavan, I had that lesson. We did live very austerely. And then at a particular time, by providence, I really had no place. I really had no place to stay. And then I became in anxiety about a place to stay, and then was meditating on, you know, how I could get it. Very shortly, just after I meditated, that anxiety stayed with me. I started meditating. I didn't really have money. I didn't really have facilities. I just said, enough. That the mercy to live in Vrindavan is so great that why shouldn't I be satisfied with wherever I am given to live? And I lived like that up until last year. Wherever there was a place, and you know, I somehow had good places by the mercy, and sometimes not, and sometimes not good places. So relatively, but trying to be detached, Anyway, Dhruva had that nature, and he had that need, and it put him in anxiety, and he desired it strongly, and at least he approached God. And when he approached God, he performed devotional service and performed great austerities. And the world is scientifically constructed that austerities will be rewarded with power. Power is required to be the enjoyer and controller. If that is your objective, you need power to control the world, to move it to conform to your desires. So enjoyment and control and enjoyment go hand in hand. So therefore, because the basic principle of this world is enjoyment and control, the inspiration for doing things for people, except those that are exceptionally advanced already, is for power and control. So God has created this world, Yagya Shishta Shana Shanto Muchante Sarva Kilbishai. No, that's not the verse. Saha Yagya Prajash Rishva Parova Cha Prajapati Anena Prasavishyadvam Eshavo Swishta Kamaduk. That he's created this world with demigods and sacrifice, and that you will be rewarded for your sacrifice. To encourage sacrifice, because nayam lokas tiyokasya kutanya kurisata. Without sacrifice, there's not happiness in this world or the next. You have to move in that direction. So the world is meant to inspire you to do that. You get rewarded for your yajna or your tapas, your sacrifice. And God sets up the system. And when one performs great sacrifice, he gets great powers. So Dhruva did get great powers. But because it was devotional service, that he was doing it for God, even though this looks like Jnana Mishra Bhakti, the objective is God, but it's mixed with renunciation. Or you renounce the world for the purpose of focusing on God. Where in Shuddha Bhakti, you just dedicate yourself to God from the beginning. We're in Jnana Mishra Bhakti. In the beginning, your dedication is to renunciation with the objective that that will facilitate your focus on God. So, he worshiped God and performed austerities to facilitate that. So it was mixed with that. But he it's the previous verse said he captured God somehow. I don't know what the word was. I'll look at the word, the previous verses again. Dhara yama na, it says Dhara yama nashya, Dhara yama nashya, Dhara yama nashya, have been taking God into the heart. He got a lot of power. The Prabhupada in the purport says that people change. He had no power, and then he had power. And the power from constantly concentrating on God within the heart. The power, you become empowered. And I always think of the story of Prabhupada in his room in Calcutta. When he came back, successful, what no one else had could done, to an unprecedented degree. What Prabhupada did was just, what Prabhupada did and is still doing. Prabhupada was such a spiritual figure that his mission did not end with him. Because the success of the Hare Krishna mission is Prabhupada. People doing what he wants. That gives the power. So Prabhupada was sitting in his room and he was saying how I was the lucky one. And he was meditating on the achievement and accolades, you know, of his godbrothers, who were very not the accurate, but their qualities. They were very exceptional people. Very, very exceptional people. Many from very aristocratic Brahmin families. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe, Yoga Brush the Prajayate. They were from very aristocratic Brahmin families. So he was one, you know, so Prabhupada was meditating on them. And I once saw a book published by the Gaudiya Math of a description of all the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta that were very powerful. And it was a veritable all-star team of people with abilities, my God, of learning and management and power. So Prabhupada And how was I the lucky one? And then he just said, because I was 10% faithful to the order of my spiritual master. He connected with God and therefore was an instrument with God, an instrument for God. And therefore, whatever, when you're an instrument for something greater, then the power of that greater uses you. It's just like if you have a sharp knife, you know, it can carve the most intricate designs. If it's in the hands of someone with that talent or power. Krishna Vina Shakti Nara Pravartana. Without Krishna Shakti, you cannot spread Krishna consciousness. You surrender to God, and God does wonderful things through you. I can think of many, many examples of great devotees and the things they accomplished, and you know the Hare Krishna film, that one Russian devotee who surrendered to Prabhupada was able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the Soviet Union. And Prabhupada, when he came to the shores of America and looked at, you know, the power of passion and ignorance. And then he started to, how will I do this? And he said, and he prayed to God, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. I'm a puppet in your hands. But you can move me in wonderful ways beyond. So that's what empowerment does. It allows you to achieve things way beyond your own capabilities. If you can do them in a way that recognizes that the doer is Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna may be hesitant to act through you, because it may compromise your Krishna consciousness. If you become entangled in ahankara. I told that story many times when I first came to the Brooklyn Temple in 1970 at Henry Street, and I used to hitchhike there. Yeah, and I came one day for lunch, you know, because I was also in university, so going to be on holidays in the summer. So I came there for lunch, and they were listening to a tape, and I think some devotee had given a lecture, and he quoted Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, if we all my disciples became Krishna conscious, we could take over the world in 18 days. And I thought, yeah, why would Krishna give the devotees the world if it would adversely affect their consciousness? So the key to spreading Krishna consciousness is purity. That saying is, purity is the force, because Krishna has to work through one. Anyway, he got so much power, and it's not surprising, because it's not his power, it's God working through him. Next verse. Tasmin abhijayati vishvam atmano param narudhyasum ananyaya idhya loka narudhyasa napidita brisham salokapala sharanam yayoharim. When Dhruva Maharaj became practically one in heaviness with Lord Vishnu, the total consciousness due to his fully concentrating and his closing all the holes of his body, the total universal breathing became choked up. And all the great demigods and all the planetary systems felt suffocated and thus took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When hundreds of persons are sitting in an airplane, although they remain individual units, they share in the total force of the airplane, which runs at thousands of miles per hour. Similarly, when unit energy is identified with the service of the total energy, the unit energy becomes powerful as that total energy. This is such an incredible example of empowerment. Like the airplane, you know, once you surrender to the airplane, you know, you're moving at the speed of the airplane. You are moving at thousands of miles an hour simply by, so when a unit is identified with the total unit, it becomes as powerful. So identifying as a servant of God and acting as a servant of God, you're moving with the force of God. And in one sense, that's called Shaktivesh Avatar. You're doing something as if God was doing it. As explained in the previous verse, Dhruva Maharaj, because of his total spiritual advancement, became almost the total heaviness, and thus he pressed down the whole earth. Moreover, by such spiritual power, his unit body became the total body of the universe. Thus, when he closed the holes of his unit body to firmly concentrate his mind on the Supreme Personality of God and all the units of the universe, namely all the living entities, including the big demigods, felt the pressure of suffocation as if their breathing were being choked. Therefore, they all took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they were perplexed as to what had happened. The example of Dhruva Maharaj's closing the holes of his personal body and thereby closing the breathing holes of the total universe clearly indicates that a devotee, by his personal devotional service, can influence all the people of the whole world to become devotees of the Lord. If there is only one pure devotee in pure Krishna consciousness, he can change the total consciousness of the world into Krishna consciousness. This is not very difficult to understand if we study the behavior of Dhruva. I mean, this is a really powerful purport. And it's a personal ecstasy of Prabhupada. And what an inspiration. And what a realization by Prabhupada himself. If we become there's only one pure devotee in Krishna consciousness, the total consciousness of the world can change into Krishna consciousness. How humbling. How inspirational. Wow. I'm kind of speechless. But Prabhupada's faith, Prabhupada's conviction. And it's not blind faith. It is trust based on evidence. He's speaking from his personal example. He came as a beggar in that film. It's so moving that Prabhupada filmed. Prabhupada's talking, I was homeless. I was a vagabond. But, wow. Yeah, I told you that I saw the film. I saw the film many, many times. And I'll see it again next Saturday and perhaps Sunday. It's playing upstate. It's only 15 minutes from my place. So I got 15 minutes there, an hour and a half. And the matinee, great time. And just to watch and relish that empowerment. Text 81, Deva Uchu, Naivam Vedamo Bhagavan Padarodham, Saracharasya Kiva Satvadamna, Videhi Tando Vijanadi Moksham, Praptavayam Twam Saranam Saranyam. The demigod said, Dear Lord, you are the refuge of all moving and non-moving living entities. We feel all the living entities to be suffocating. The breathing process is choked up. We have never experienced such a thing. Since you are all the ultimate shelter of all surrendered souls, we therefore approach you. Kindly save us from this danger. Purport. Dhruva Maharaja's influence attained by executing devotional service unto the Lord was felt even by the demigods who had never before experienced such a situation. Because of Dhruva Maharaja's controlling his breathing, the entire universal breathing process was choked. It is by will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that material entities cannot breathe, where spiritual entities are able to breathe. Material entities are products of the Lord's external energy, whereas spiritual entities are product of the Lord's internal energy. Material entities cannot breathe, whereas spiritual entities are able to breathe. Mm-hmm. The demigods approach the Supreme Personality of God as the controller of both kinds of entities in order to know why their breathing was choked. The Supreme Lord is the ultimate goal for the solution to all problems within this material world. The spiritual world, there are no problems, but the material world is always problematic. Wow. The spiritual world has no problems. And why is there no problems? Because the world is moving according to your desire, which is the pleasure of God. And even in the material world, if you move for the pleasure of God, there are really no problems on a certain level. Problems are the world when it moves against your desire. When you want to be the controller and enjoyer, no matter how many set things you have in place, they're going to move and change against your will. Eventually, they all will. And when you become a servant of God, and your desire is service, no matter how things change, even in the material world, it's just another opportunity for service. So if you have that consciousness, you solve most of your problems. The more you're attached, the more you have problems. Since the Supreme Personality of God is, therefore, those who are devotees have no problems in this material world. I didn't see that sentence, and I love when I say something, and then I see that Prabhupada says it, confirming it. Therefore, those who are devotees have no problems in this material world. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate Chaitanya Chandramata. Devotees are free from all problems because they are fully surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For a devotee, everything in the world is very pleasing because he knows how to use everything in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So that's the key here. Why don't we finish this chapter today? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Mabhaishtabalam Tapasodarachayam Yavartayishye Pratiyatta Sadama Yato Nahi Va Pananaroda Asit Ato Napadhir Mayushangatatma. The Supreme Personality of God had replied, My dear demigods, do not be perturbed by this. due to the severe austerity and full determination of the son of King Uttanapad, who is now fully absorbed in thoughts of me. He has obstructed the universal breathing process. You can safely return to your respective homes. I shall stop this boy in his severe acts of austerity. You will be saved from this situation. Here, one word, sangatatma, is misinterpreted by the Mayavadis, who say that the self of Dhruva Maharaj became one with the Supreme Self, the personality of Godhead. The sangata, atma, I guess it means the joining the self, something like that. The self has the quality of joiningness or something like that. So Prabhupada explains it's misunderstood. The Mayavadi philosophers want to prove by this word that the super soul and the individual soul become united in this way, and that after such unification, the individual soul has no separate existence. But here it is clearly stated by the Supreme Lord that Dhruva Maharaj was so absorbed in meditation on thought of the Supreme Personality of God that he himself, the universal consciousness, was attracted to Dhruva. In order to please the demigods, he wanted to go himself to Dhruva Maharaj to stop him from this severe austerity. The Mayavadi philosopher's conclusion that the supersoul and the individual soul become united is not supported by this statement. Rather, the supersoul, the personality of Godhead, wanted to stop Dhruva Maharaj from this severe austerity. By pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one pleases everyone, just as by watering the root of a tree, one satisfies every branch, twig, and leaf of the tree. If one can attract the Personality of Godhead, one naturally attracts the whole universe, because Krishna is the supreme cause of the universe. All the demigods were afraid of being totally vanquished by suffocation, but the Personality of God had assured them that Dhruva Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord and was not about to annihilate everyone in the universe. The devotee is never envious of other living entities. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, eighth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home for the Forest. And next week we'll start the chapter Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, first, my comment that it was so nice. Oh, what's that noise? Oh, echo. We got echo.
I don't know. There was an echo for the whole class?
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, it was so nice to get realization, which I didn't realize I didn't have before, about the fact that purity is the force, you know. So in your class, I really appreciate it, that explanation.
Thank you.
My question is about the fact that that by Dhruva closing all the holes in his body, he was suffocating the whole world. And so I understand that, okay, well, you know, when you become pure, you Krishna can use you. But two things. One is, I don't understand the direct correlation between his closing his holes and the suffocation of the universe. And also, as a devotee, why would a devotee put the world in such anxiety?
I got it. Well, the first thing is that he was performing these extreme, practically never before, these austerities, were just incredible. So he was petitioning the reciprocation of the world for his power. So, and because he was doing it in devotional service, God was reciprocating with him also. So I don't know the technical, there's an in, you know, the internal affects the external. So I don't know the mechanisms of how God has created the universe or works the universe, but somehow or other he had that power. And that's how that was how it would work. You know, and besides that fact, you have to understand he's not a pure devotee now. He's a Kanishtha Adhikari because Chaturvidha Bhajante Maham Jana Sukritano Jana Atarti Jigyasu Ganika. He's coming for a material thing. So that's his objective right now. It's only when he attains it and has the comparative thought of the pleasure he got there for what was happening internally in relationship to that direct connection with God. So right now, he's still overcome by this incredible desire. I want this, and that's what he's consumed with.
Yeah, well, it becomes a very good illustration of how selfishness negatively impacts the world.
It does, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
And how devotional service can be misused, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there are powers that come with it. That's
quote,
right, Taranga Rangane.
Well, no,
it's devotional service, but then the effects of it may be Taranga Rangane, that the effect of devotional service is that you may get many followers and many opulences, and then that may affect you and weaken your bhakti. Okay?
I said quote unquote because if to the extent that you don't have, you know, that
right,
devotion,
okay, yeah, it's mixed. It's mixed. I don't know where I was reading that, but there's two types of mixed. I was reading it in Shishastakam Purport. There's two types of mixed devotional service. Well, one where you just have... Well, no, there's two types of motive. One you just have ulterior motive, and one is your motive is mixed. So it can be mixed also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gail?
Thanks, Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else have a question or like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Gordon.
Gordon, thank you so much. Always nice to hear from you. And we'll see you Saturday night, next Saturday night, or...
The fifth.
In Tucson. Okay, we'll see you then. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Thank you so much. Good. Other people say hello? Okay, we can end for today. Thank you all.